Hello, and welcome to that episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Dodd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
The last stop before E3.
Yes.
Jesus, feels like forever since the last time. I mean, again, last year was canceled, but now we finally have a proper E3 presentation. It is good to be back at this time of season again. Ooh, it feels so exciting.
Yeah, I'm like counting down the days, especially after the day I've had today. I'm just like, I need E3. I need it!
Yep, I agree. Same here.
Mm-hmm. Also here is Tellius Tyler.
Yes, I likewise am counting down the seconds to E3. Tomorrow, Ratchet and Clank drops, so that's going to carry me through the weekend. I know there's E3 stuff going on over the weekend, but obviously Nintendo is the day we care about, so.
Alright, so yes, since this is the last show before E3, we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. We're still going to get to the news, but we will be hosting, as our title of the episode shows, the first ever E3 draft. How we've never done this before, you got us. But we are going to do our E3 draft with the hard, definitive things that we feel Nintendo is going to show. Like 100%, we believe in this. So we're going to have some fun with that. But first, what have you been playing? I'll go first, because within the last week, I've actually played a lot. I've had some free time on my hands, so I've tried to relax as best I can. At first, I finished the Phoenix Wright trilogy. The ending of Trials and Tribulations gets me every time. It's good with Godot's Redemption, if you want to call it that, and, you know, Phoenix ascending to the next level of being a lawyer and all of that. And then I realized, I need to take a step back. I need to step back. Mm-hmm. I need to play a game that's like calming, relaxing, you know, get me into myself. So I put back in Saints Row the Third and just like started blowing people away. So...
That is a proper relaxing game. Granted, yeah. It is a proper relaxing game. Yes.
And I'm not biased because I helped make the game. I'm just saying. No, I love this game. It's so stupid and irreverent, but beautiful. And I just got to the mission where I skydived through the air on a tank, landed, and then created a zombie apocalypse.
All
at one level. Glorious game. But yeah, it's been fun. And of course we're playing. Oh yeah, I want to talk about Fire Emblem Heroes, because they had their new banner, one that Tyler, I don't know if he came out of retirement for it, but I referenced this because it was a Shadows of Valentia banner, partly yes. Shadows of Valentia, and then they added in Nott from the current storyline, and I was like, okay, I have the orbs. I had like 420, 430 at the time. I was like, okay, I'm gonna use these orbs and I'm gonna get as many characters as I can. What could possibly go wrong? A lot. But then it started to turn my way. Because here are all the 5-star gold tier characters I got. All right. I got Brave Roy.
Okay.
On my free summon. Like, how? Okay. Then I got a 5-star Amelia, who I guess was... I don't remember what banner she was from, but okay. Then I got Nott.
Nice.
Then I got 4-star Luthier.
That
was interesting. Then I got 4-Sith. Then I used my special 40 summon to get Zeke.
Okay.
And then I got a Micaiah, 5-star Micaiah, and I had like 3 of those like 4-star level ups, you know, the specials.
Yeah.
I had like 3 of those.
Really? Like,
I know! And again, I got Brave Roy, who I've never gotten before, on my free summon. I'm just like, why? How is it easy some of the time and not easy the rest of the time? Like, come on. And to be clear, I spent like a good, I don't know, 150 orbs, give or take. So, yeah, that was a thing. Oh, and Paula, the one I didn't get, I was about to get my 40th summon, and I had a red, and I summoned Paula.
Wow.
The original.
oof,
yeah,
oof,
I'm like, wrong one! She was mocking me, because she knew I didn't want her. I didn't want this version of Paula, alright? I didn't!
And is it because she has, like, more normal body proportions in the original one that you didn't want her?
Well, she was definitely more reserved in the original, but it's just like, I don't get why they have like seven versions of Paula. All right,
so she's a great character and she's popular, but I will say, Todd, I've been on Will's side of the Fire Emblem Hero debate recently. Mm-hmm. This one lost me. I mean, Paula is like a very straight-laced knight character. She's never sexualized, and yep. Her portrait in Hero and this version of her is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Yeah. And honestly, it's not what Fire Emblem's about, you know, and it cheapens the brand.
Yeah.
I don't mind it for characters where that's their part of their personality. She is the opposite. It's just terrible. I hate it. I truly hate it.
I want to break the fourth wall a little bit. All right. I'm a writer, and when I write my female characters, I try and be respectful, all right, in terms of how they look and how they act and everything else. And when I was making one of my favorite stories called Home, I had these knights that had this very special armor. And I'm like, well, how would I want these characters to look? And so I was looking at, you know, various armors across, you know, gaming games and everything. And I realized, like, oh, Fire Emblem, for the most part, has, you know, these very perfectly designed, you know, armor sets for their women characters. I'm like, okay, let's mix some of that, throw in some Tron lines, because you know the Tron lines are awesome, and you have the perfect armor sets. Every single, I will stand by the look of every single one of my female knights, because they look like bosses, they look epic, they look powerful, and they're not, you know, eye candy. All right, if you like them, great, but I didn't make them to be eye candy. And yet here, when you look at like some of these character arts, that's clearly what they were going for. They wanted you to be, and I'm not even talking about Camilla, because you know they were going to do that with her since she was born.
It's obvious. It's obvious with her. It's obvious.
I mean, they've done it with so many characters that like don't deserve it, don't need it, and like with Paula, I'm just like looking at how she was designed, like the way she's like tilting herself to the camera,
the
like,
angle, exactly. It's horrible. It's disgusting. I really didn't like it. Like I hate it.
So. I'm glad you're finally seeing the light. I guess your retirement did do you some good. So, but aside from that madness, I did have a really good summon run. So I can be proud of that. And the story of Fire Emblem still makes absolutely no sense.
Sure.
I mean, it says I just don't know anymore.
And just a compliment as well. Like just to contribute. Like they also did the Build Your Bonds events.
Forging Bonds, yes. I am enjoying those. I'm liking Zeke's because I'm like, oh yeah, there were three of him, weren't
yep,
there?
Three Zeke's in total. That was amazing. Yeah.
I will always like, what was her name? Tatiana, or whatever?
Yes.
I will always like her for an opening line that she had in Shadows of Valentia. You meet her and she goes, hey, I'm looking for Zeke. He's my lover. I'm like, what? Like, such bold talk in these fire
that escalated
games.
Quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, he's my lover. It's like, okay. And then was she in the third game? Because there's three forms of Zeke. There's Camus.
No,
there's...
she's not. She okay. stays in Valentia, but Zeke comes back to her.
Okay,
afterwards.
There we go. Okay. I couldn't remember because I'm like, clearly he had feelings for her. Clearly. All right. I mean, again, lover. Yeah. So I was just like, I have never gotten to play the third game for obvious reasons. And so I was just like, did he just leave her? Did he? Because that's a dick move. I'm just like, if he did, that's a dick move. I'm just saying. So and don't get me wrong. I've read some of these like alternate Fire Emblem story endings, and like some of them get weird. All right. Like look at the White Wing sisters and Abel. Or was it Kanan?
No, it was Abel.
No, it was Abel. It was Abel.
It was Abel. Like, you know, like. They went from like loving him to leaving him to like kidnapping, leaving. It got weird. So okay, because I just wanted to know if they did stay together. All right, so I'm glad. Although I will never forgive Fire Emblem for not putting Ike and Alencia together. I'm just saying. So Joffrey's lame.
He's very lame. He's
a
lame.
Stick in the mud. Okay, I get it. You're eternally loyal. Ike is so much better than you. He's infinitely better than you, Joffrey. Accept it and move on. I feel better. All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
Yeah, I guess just a compliment on Fire Emblem Heroes. Like, yeah, just... I'm kind of like, unfortunately, my luck was not as great as yours. Like, I did manage to go and summon like two luthiers, one 4-star, one 5-star, so I did merge them together, and as well, like got I think yeah, one more. I think Fleur, I think that was today, but I didn't really have much luck in this banner. I did manage to go in Spark and manage some miners attack not, but yeah, I decided to go and get myself use my Spark's stone to get another not, basically up neutral IVs, so just merge my not together. And yeah, as you said, the forging bonds events, like, there's a lot of interesting combos. I mean, yeah, Paula also talking with the White Wing Sister's child form, which
that was so weird.
Yeah.
Biggest sis.
Again, the whole Japanese translation is definitely tricky. I mean, again, I understand what they're going for with the whole Onetan. Like, it's Big Me. It's like, okay, that's very weird. But again, this is why I'm the heroes. So yeah, just to see these events as well as I kind of also appreciate a little bit of Luthier as well. Like, he's basically trying so hard trying to make friends, which this is just like a very, very hilarious story in his events. So there's that. And yeah, Ocarina as well with the original story in Fire Emblem Heroes, basically Reagan tried to go and actually beat Fafnir in his dark form. It's just like, okay, random. But again, I get it with how they're going to try to connect it with the whole Norse mythology, just continue on with the how he gets the sword at what they showed off in that midpoint trail that they showed off a while back. So, I mean, okay, fine. I mean, nothing too grandiose, but fine, sure. So right now, and then also just checked it up on the events calendar, where I think like the next major banner will roughly be on the 20th. So give or take left after E3, like 15, at least like 2 weeks. So we're going to get the next banner. And again, as I've been saying, come on, where's the next Jesus list? Give us Gatekeeper ready. But I
digress. Yeah, we need Gatekeeper. We do.
So there's that. And as well, just been finishing up the event on Overwatch, which just ended on Tuesday. And just overall, just like going back to a few games here and there. I mean, for me, I had to go back into Fall Guys because just today, I'm actually writing the article right now that 2B of Nier Automata got revealed as a costume collaboration, which who would have thought? I mean, it's surprising. But again, we had crazy things like Shovel Knight, Godzilla, and everything else, and Sonic. So it's crazy on that. As well, going back into Pokemon Snap, right now I'm just doing the Milotic missions and trying to get a max level on that Lumina Pokemon event with Milotic. So just trying to level up before I finally finish up Pokemon Snap. So overall, it has, I mean, not many games on my side, but just trying to like ease my way in. And actually, just an update as well, because I posted on Twitter that I'm finally at the last stage of Ring Fit Adventure, which is Finalia, it's ironically called. Like, I think, yeah, 22 worlds over in total for Ring Fit Adventure. So if you want to know how long this Ring Fit regiment is basically a whole solid 22 worlds. And yeah, finally at the end of Ring Fit Adventure, the end's in sight. I cannot wait to see what, once I see that credits, like, I'm finally done. No more have to do squats anymore. But yeah, so yeah, Ring Fit Adventure almost at the end, and we'll see what happens at the end credits. So I can't wait to once I get back into it again.
That is inspiring, Will, because I have been getting back to the actual gym, but I'm getting ready to head on vacation. And I think I'm going to have to break Ring Fit Adventure out for the first time in 5 or 6 months. It may be longer, honestly. It's been a long time. I have not been playing quite as much. The NBA playoffs are on, and they've kind of taken over my normal gaming spot thing. I have continued my Fire Emblem run of Sacred Stones, so I'm doing Ephraim's Path now. And if any character dies, I'm not resetting, including the main character. If Ephraim dies, I am resetting the whole game. But I'm not super far. I'm still in the early phases there. I did, however, pick up Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne.
Okay.
I've not gotten to play it yet. That is actually what we're going to do after we're done the podcast tonight, but I'm excited to play that. I went with that as my game over Pokemon Snap.
All right.
I thought that Mario Golf released earlier, so I apologize to the audience. I think I thought that came out like the second week in June.
No, it comes out
at the end of June, so yeah. I'll have plenty of time to finish Nocturne before that comes out, which is great for me because Mario Golf looks amazing, and I'm very excited for it.
Sure.
But I have also stayed retired from Fire Emblem Heroes.
I am
collecting my login bonus, so I guess that's not technically retired, but I haven't been playing. I've just been logging in and accepting my login bonus. But that is it for me. It's been a pretty light week, but next week we'll have lots to report on.
I'm not sure if you already know about the missions already. This is for everybody here, but like you can actually get 2 5-star Tatianas if you do the main missions. Just play the normal modes, just go to it, and then you actually can finish it. Get 2 Tatianas. So just a heads up.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's kind of sweet. The free 5 stars are always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually kind of felt bad because I wanted to see like her like summon reaction because I'm sure it was going to be about Zeke. You know, like, hi, I'm Tatiana. I can help heal you if you need me to. By the way, have you seen my lover Zeke?
I'm pretty sure he's going to do that like once they update it down the line. So
probably.
Play later that, yeah.
Probably. You know what we should do? We should find out a list of all the characters or reference other characters that when there's some, like Frederick talks about Krom, Seth talks about Ephraim and at least Erica.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Klein.
Yeah. Mm. What about Celica? Does any of her mini forms reference Alm? Is Alm here? Or Faye? There you go. Faye probably does.
Faye, I think, does.
Yeah. Now, for the record, we're talking about Faye, not Faye. Okay. You know, not to be confused with Faye. You know, totally different character.
I mean, that's differentiated as Faye the Owl, not Enjus. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's three Fae. There's Fae Bo, Fae Dragon, Fae Owl. Too many Fae's!
Oh, boy.
Yeah. There was also too many Camillas, but I'll leave that alone. All right. Now, thankfully for us, the week went from, hey, there's not a lot to talk about, to, hey, there's a lot to talk about. And it's perfect because next week we're going to be more or less talking all about E3 and all the announcements, so just be ready for that. But today it's time for regular news, so it's time to go down the warp pipe. And we'll start off with an exciting piece of news that came out today. A tease for Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle 2. Yes, now to be clear, this is not an official tease. It was an insider tease, and no, it was not from Sir Zippo of Rumer. No, this came from an industry analyst in Nick Baker, who apparently has a good record of knowing certain things. And he teased on Twitter a singular image of the cover art for Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, but put a nice big giant 2 on it. And that's it.
Well,
but it's
also,
enough.
Months ago, or maybe even years ago, Ubisoft sent out a poll asking how fans felt about Nintendo characters like the Koopalings, Waluigi, and Rosalina.
True.
So, you know, connect the dots. It feels like that game sold well.
It did.
Expect a sequel.
Yeah, it was, and I'm pretty sure it still is, the best-selling third-party game on Nintendo Switch. So when you're when you have that title, you kind of need to get a sequel, all right? Especially since they did the whole DLC with the Donkey Kong, which is, you know, your own standalone expansion. So why not grow it? Okay, we get throwing Wario, throwing Waluigi.
If they put Waluigi in, that's a big deal. I mean, that would be his first not party or sports game appearance. And like Smash, he's an assist trophy,
yeah,
but like as a playable character.
Yeah. I actually fear seeing the Waluigi rabbit.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
What would they call him? The Wabbit, you know?
Probably.
Maybe.
Oh, boy. But yeah, so, again, this is just a rumor, but we need it. I mean, okay, we deserve it. And again, we know that we were the people who were like, there's no way this game is real when it leaked. Like, it's so stupid. There's no way this will be good. And then E3 proved us wrong, and then it was hyped, and then it was good. I get a 4 out of 5. You know, even the XCOM guy was like, you know what? I actually learned a few things from this. And when you impress the XCOM guy, you've done something right. So, I understand they took their time. We're all about taking your time to get it right on this podcast. So I'm hoping that whether it be the Ubisoft press conference or the Nintendo press conference, that we get the confirmation of Mario and Rabbids 2 Kingdom Battle or Kingdom Battle 2. So fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, we have one of my favorite stories, Ace Attorney, because the great Ace Attorney Chronicles are coming on July 27th to a Nintendo Switch near you. And one of the big questions was, why did it take so long? And honestly, the answer was localization, which makes perfect sense when you think about it, because this game was made for Japan, you know, first and foremost. That's why it was never localized over here in the first place. And one of the localization directors from Capcom, Janet Su, noted that they were trying to keep authenticity. They wanted it to be, quote, authentic yet accessible, unquote, during the game translation, because obviously there's some things you can say in Japan, but you can't say in English because there's no direct correlation, which is a very common localization problem. So they actually had to use like Victorian era words or hardcore Britishisms. That's two words I never thought would exist. It's a hardcore Britishism, mate. You know, hey, whatever works for you guys. So that was the big thing, was that they wanted to be authentic. They wanted to make it sound like the actual game, and especially since quote, it's tied to the Tagging his identity as a Japanese national, so I felt it was important to convey his and Susato's immigrant experience when it appeared in the game, end quote. So yeah, that was another big thing, was that they wanted to make sure it was, you know, relevant to the story while also making sense to those who were reading it. So yeah, I'm sure that took a lot of time. And there was also apparently some animation issues, as they were going from, they had a lot more stylized animations than we're used to in Ace Attorney. So I'm still excited. I'm not glad that they had these issues, but if they worked through them, then that means that they got it to work in a way that they can be happy with. So, and that's what we will, because we've all seen bad like translations and stuff like that.
Let's not forget about the burger situation back then.
Uh-huh. Oh boy. So bravo to you, Capcom. And oh, and apparently there's going to be like a Capcom presentation during E3 week.
Yes.
And
if
Ace Attorney 7 isn't there, I'm going to riot.
I think we could say that we're definitely going to probably have something. I think that's probably one of the hard bets. I think you were going to make that. We are going to finally hear something about the next Ace Attorney from Capcom, if anything, or perhaps, well, we'll save it at the end. But yeah, maybe we'll likely probably hear about Ace Attorney, hopefully.
All right, and again, that comes out on July 27th, alongside Neo: The World Ends With You. So again, I'm going to be struggling to, like, which one do I play first? I can't possibly play both at the same time. Or can I? No, I can't. So moving on. Oh, and here's one for Tyler. Like, Tyler was very excited about this one. We might be getting a WarioWare title on the Switch.
I have to
argue with Todd for a second here. Here we go. Pull back the curtain.
Here we go.
So Todd posts this in our Discord chat saying, like, oh, here, this is a cool story. And I'm excited. I'm like, yeah, WarioWare is great. And something to the effect of, this will be really hype. And Todd writes back, ... if you say so.
Yep, pretty much.
I just, sir, what is your problem with WarioWare?
Well, I look at the game, and I look at how they portray Wario, and it makes me want to go, wah! Okay, look. Objectively, I understand why this game has been a success in various forms over the years, okay? It's one of those, you know, irreverent, you know, random titles that just hits a certain itch. You know, it's not meant to be like deeply invested in. It's, you know, it's like, it's micro games. They even say it's a micro game. All right. Like, you play for 5 seconds and you go on to the next one. The whole story is about Wario trying to get rich by being a video game developer.
Well, I mean, that's the Wario story. There's all sorts of little side stories for the fun other characters, like Nigel, Mona, and
Ashley.
Ashley, thank you. Well, I can't think of the DJ guy, the dancer. Why can't I think of his name? He's awesome.
DJ Groove, something like that? I don't know. Ah, man.
I think his name is something with a singular initial, but that's all right.
Anyway, but like, I get why it's popular, and it had it's been in a Smash Brothers via a stage and an assist trophy via the guitar players, but I think it's dumb. I'm sorry. It's just like there's a nose picking micro game, and like one where you're having to balance a broomstick for like 5 seconds and everything, and it's like, okay, sure. Hey, if you like it, That's fine. That's totally fine.
There's like there's an arcade element to WarioWare.
That's it. That's I think a good way of describing
it. See, I love that because it has a it has replay value of that of like Pac-Man, where you come back and you're trying to set the high score. How far can you go? How fast can the game go before you can no longer keep up with these short little micro games? And I just, it's one of the greatest series for Nintendo, Nintendo charm, I think. Every single character has this great personality. The way it's all animated is very charming. It's just, it's a pure joy experience. And I believe this report that it might came from a Twitter account saying that they were asking about the price and whether $49.99 is the right price.
So what happened was that Nintendo sometimes sends out surveys for their fans like us to fill out to get, you know, a grasp on things. You know, kind of like what Atlas did when I was asking about, you know, Persona titles, and yet they didn't listen to us when we said we wanted Persona 5 on Switch. So this one was, quote, at a price of $49.99, how interested are you in buying the next game of the WarioWare series? And there was, you know, definitely would buy, probably would buy, might or might not buy, probably would not buy, definitely would not buy. End quote. So yeah, and the Twitter user was like, that's a very specific question. And I'm going to say it right now. $49.99, unless there's like 1,000 of these micro games on there, that's too high.
All right. Yeah, see, I disagree. I would pay for it, no doubt. I would pay six. I would pay $59.99. I'd pay full price. The quality. WarioWare Smooth Moves is one of the best games on Wii. I see how, like, when you market it, when you put it in, like, oh, they're micro games, they're just 5-second games, that wouldn't be worth $50, but there's I can see how you would say that, but there's so much more that comes with it, and I couldn't even tell you what my favorite micro game was off the top of my head. I mean, some of the boss games are more elaborate, and those are really fun, and like all the 9-volt games are really fun, but I can tell you that like that frantic energy that comes with those games is something unique to WarioWare. I don't feel that anywhere else, and I would absolutely pay full price for it. No, tell Nintendo that. I'd much rather pay $50 than $60, but I would pay $60. I would pay
$70.
I would. I totally would.
I mean, if you're a hardcore Wario fan, sure.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Like, I would.
I mean, just briefly, for me, was introduced to WarioWare, like, back during when I was on the 3D, on the DS, actually, back in those old times. And, I mean, it's a collection of minigames, and the cast has been grown since then, of course. Like, the charm of Wario, or be it his infamous charm, is just, like, he's one of a kind. And he just made his own identity, aside from being the anti-Mario for Nintendo, so... I mean, he's established himself, be it of his platform games from WarioWare Shake It or from his mini games. He has his perks. So yeah, just like hearing again Charles Martinet just acting out as Wario is just like it's a blast to hear him. So yeah, if you like Wario, you like Wario. So if this news has any truth to it, then yeah, it's good for Wario fans out there.
And in being objective, because I am the host, this would add to them using all of their IP on Switch, which is something I, of course, wholly support. You know, I want them to not just do Mario and Zelda titles, despite the fact that they are, you know, the most popular ones outside of, like, Pokemon, obviously. And so if this is their way of, you know, expanding that roster, fine. Like, do it. Just make sure it's good. Okay? That's the only thing I ask. All right, speaking of things not being good, let's talk about the latest Nintendo Switch update. Oops! Yeah, Nintendo, you have one job, all right? Make an update that works. It doesn't screw everything up. Apparently, with update 12.0.3, they released it. It started having connection issues and was incompatible with certain micro SD cards. And they actually had to recall the update so they could fix it and then send it right back out. Oops.
Yeah, not a great moment for Nintendo. No, don't worry. If you updated it, you can re-download the old version. You just have to, you know, turn your Switch back on and do that. But this is the first time that's ever happened in Nintendo.
Yes.
I don't think it's happened before.
Yeah, yeah, I saw a post that said, like, this was the first time ever for them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, someone at Nintendo like kind of did an oopsie over there. So, but yeah, definitely a rare thing to happen in Nintendo. It's just like, wow, who would have thought?
I mean, just like, I know you can't always prepare for these things because I know that there is always a thing like, oh, this is a perfect update, then you release it, then something unforeseen happens. And I'm sure this was it, because how were they supposed to know that this particular update was not going to work with, what did you say it was titled? The micro SDXC card.
Like, yes.
That's a very specific card that they would have had to prepare for. Like, yeah, I can get that. All right, but like the connection error and everything else, like, I don't know. So, we shall see where that goes. And again, apparently they fixed it, so that's good. But they're definitely going to be a bit more hesitant to release more updates in the future without saying, like, did we plan for everything? Did we plan for everything?
Still no Fire Emblem profile pictures as well. That's irritating.
Yeah. Like, you know how Nintendo stars are. Like, as soon as Nintendo drops an update, like, oh, is it about a new profile fix? It's gonna be a new Splatoon game? And no, it's just performance updates. Come on, Nintendo, give us something. Yeah.
Ah, the Nintendo world we live in. Alright, okay, this was one that Tyler wanted to bring up, because apparently Yuji Naka, was it the creator of Sonic?
Yes.
The creator of Sonic has left Square Enix.
Yes, so he, before Balan Wonderworld released, Yuji Naka had said, if this game doesn't do well, I will not be at Square Enix much longer. And unfortunately for him, the game did not do well. And he has recently confirmed that he is no longer with Square Enix. So that had me look up Yuji Naka's library of games. And in my opinion, so he worked on Wii Play, apparently. But in my opinion, the last game that he made that I would describe as good was Sonic Riders back in 2006.
That's underrated. That's very underrated.
I love Sonic Riders. I do. But this is, I kind of picture, because like Shigeru Miyamoto, like, you know, he looks older. To me, he gives off like a grandfather vibe. I'm not surprised if he releases a game and it's not like a hit with the modern audiences. Yuji Naka's 55. Like, I'm surprised that he's been struggling like this. It's disappointing given how great his early career was. And Balan Wonderworld, to me, it had so much potential based on the aesthetic, and just to have the final product be what it was is a bit of a bummer. We've kind of seen this guy fall out of favor in the industry, and it's a shame, because he's definitely a legend.
Well, as ironic as it sounds, he kind of has a similar path with a certain other legendary creator who we all know and love, Shigeru Miyamoto, because he was the legend behind Mario and Zelda and Pikmin
and Star Fox,
and yet in more recent times we've heard, you know, how he was very controlling, how he ruined Paper Mario and everything, and then he eventually stepped back so that these other talents could, you know, come to the forefront. And, you know, that's not to say that his works were irrelevant. That's obviously not the case. And Yuji Naka can say the same thing. But eventually, you know, your creative talents will run out to a certain extent. And Balan Wonderland's a great example of that, because I remember when it was first revealed, like, oh, this is a very flashy title, you know, this has potential. And then the demo came out and everyone's ripping on it, and like, yeah, this ain't gonna be good. And then it apparently didn't change that much.
Yep.
And it kind of does break my heart, because as I'm hearing all of these bad things, like how everything is controlled with one button, like, who thought that would be a good idea?
Yeah, I think Video Game Donkey's review of it pretty much nailed what Balan Wonderland is. It's just, as I said, it has so much potential. Like, again, from the creator of Knights and Sonic, had so much potential, and just like to see it for what it is, and just how poorly that thing was.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even play this thing if it wasn't an early access. and you know how bad early access games on some Steam games is just like, yeah. And you want to expect this thing to pay full price for this thing? Come on. Like, did anybody did something at Q&A? Like, did anybody decide it, and they still decide to go along with this? It's just like, yeah, it's baffling. And
yeah, the reaction to the demo being as bad as it was, and them not saying, yeah, we're going to delay this, I think that tells you Square did not believe that he had what it took to get the game together. I think that at that point, everybody kind of knows what it is. And they could have delayed it, and he could have brought it back to the workshop for a year or 2 years and turned it out, and maybe it would have been good. But I think they just said, ah, forget it. We're just pushing this out and getting it behind us.
Yeah, and then we all know what happened with Avengers. And so you'd think they would try and, you know, not have that happen, you know, with like a patch that fixed 1,000 bugs, Square Enix.
Right.
So
it's just like really wondering how publishers think, like, yeah, like with Avengers and all these things, like they want to give these, they gave the okay. Like, okay, we'll give it a little time and like what show us what you got. And like they see it and like, nope, let's just push it out. Let's just push it out. And you know this was not ready for it, and you still want to push it out. Like, is it just trying to like cut your losses? Like they predicted that, yeah, this isn't gonna do it. Let's just push it out and just cut our losses and just like get this guy out of here. It just, yeah. I mean, even to some critiques to Nintendo as well. Like, there's also sometimes like at least Nintendo has some quality with it regarding to like the whole Nintendo quality seal of approval. At least they have that. They know like which games is good for release. In some sense, but it just really is something to think about regarding to how publishers, like, is it just simply for the money's sake, or do they really want to release a full quality product?
Like, yeah, I mean, Nintendo's philosophy has changed on that, like, over the years, obviously. Like, this game, Balan Wonderworld, is available on Switch. You can still get it. I'm sure they wouldn't put the Nintendo seal of approval on it, but I think back in the day they put it on everything. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'm pretty sure every game that it was on the Super Nintendo had that stamp.
Right, right. I mean, at least it was, like, base playable. I mean, technically, Balan Wonderworld was quote-unquote playable, but it's just, like, everything, it just didn't work, if anything. So, yeah, overall, just, like, the story, like, again, it was a career better, and fortunately, he lost the bet, and now he's out of Square Enix. Yeah, I mean, hopes to him of his better, hopefully his future ventures goes much more better, but it's just an example of, again, please, if it's something bad and the demo is just absolutely awful, come on. I think it's a red flag to just rework it. I mean, and just hopefully that was not the case also with back with, when they had to re-scrap development for Metroid Prime 4. Here's hoping. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that if they'd rushed out Metroid Prime 4, it's like, yeah, let's just, here you go. Oh, we would have killed them. We would have rioted. We would have gone to Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Japan. And we were just like, this is what you give us? We've been making it for years. This is worse than Federation Force. And that's a high bar to clear.
Well, actually, a low bar, because Federation Force wasn't that actually quote-unquote great.
I know. That's the joke. Like, if you're worse, never mind. Also, our friend Sarah just called me a very mean word on the Discord. Ouch. So yeah, I'm Will didn't get the joke, and now I'm being insulted. So, you know, such is life. Let's move on. All right. What was next? Oh yes, this one is for Will, because one of many leaks that happened pre E3 is that of a potential release date for Shin Megami Tensei V.
Hey. Yeah.
According to this leak by Persona Central, so that sounds like a good place to get your leaks for this kind of game, it might be coming out on November 11th.
That's it? That's all we got?
Yeah.
And it might be at E3. That is also...
Well, let's be honest here. It's more than likely going to be at E3, if for no other reason than, like, a trailer or something.
Yes. So I guess the rumor came from Persona Central, and they said it's been they can confirm that it's November 11th release and that it will be shown at E3. So that is exciting for Shin Megami Tensei fans like myself. There's also some details about the game. You're going to play as a teenager, and you're fusing with some demon, like a classic Shin Megami Tensei kind of setup. I'm looking forward to it. I hope we see it at E3. Obviously, I just bought Nocturne, and I do love some Atlas games. So.
Yeah, like Persona Central has always been like very good source regarding to all things Persona and Shin Megami Tensei. So if this bit is true, then yeah, finally we get some news of it. We're going to what's the next chapter, all the story of it all. Again, apparently this is apparently during the demon ending, the true demon ending of Nocturne, apparently. Or we're going to, but again, like the stories themselves aren't actually fully connected, but it's the same universe. But yeah, finally having know what the story is, what is happening, and yeah, finally we get some news of it. I mean, it's like this game that has been in work for so many years now, like, yeah, we're definitely doing for some news going to Shin Megami Tensei V's and everything in between. So yeah, here's hoping we finally get the trailer and finally put some worries to rest. Here's hoping.
Yeah, this was a game that was announced in that January presentation all the way back in 2017. This was like one of the mega teasers, like, hey, we're getting this exclusive title. And 4.5 years later? No, like more than that.
Yep.
5 years later, we're finally getting it. And I'm like, if it's good, that's fine. That's fine. See, you can make a person wait for 5 years and not make them regret buying the game. Isn't that right, CD Projekt Red? Boom!
That and also like some other games as well.
I mean, oh, I know, but they were
arguably
the
like you can probably say that arguably for Kingdom Hearts 3 or even.
Well,
with,
that game wasn't bad. It was just the story at that point was so incoherent. All right, like they weren't even trying to make it make sense anymore. Okay,
and that we had to wait for literally 20 plus years.
That yes. too, and because of that, we got the delay in Neo: The World Ends With You. So that is unforgivable. But yeah. So, hey, do you suppose if I had made that joke? On like Twitter or something like that, I would have been a cyberpunk. Oh, come on. All right. Let's see. Oh yeah. Next up, we have Monster Hunter 2: Wings of Ruin. Oh, sorry, Monster Hunter
Stories 2:
Wings of Ruin. It got a new story trailer today via the Summer Games Fest, which is a part of E3. Isn't a part of E3. We really don't know. But it's there, and they were showing things. So they had a new trailer showcasing the story, which is also incoherent, because there's like Rathalos is a threat, but he's not a threat. And then there's this thing called the Razewind that's about to resurrect or something. And of course, the world's going to end if it gets birthed. They specifically say birthed. Like, oh, so you're about to be born, are you? Like, clearly. Like, coming out of the ground. Just saying.
No. Well, like, kind of more or less, like, showed off during the Capcom, the last Capcom presentation with Rise as well. So, the story itself is, like, nothing too surprising. Again, it's just more elaborating more on the details of, again, the Rathalos. Just, like, apparently this particular Rathalos is going to spell the destruction of the world. Like, typical RPG trope story, if yep. anything else.
Yeah, and then as I was joking with Tyler before the podcast, you know it's bad when you're... like inserting your subtitle inelegantly into the game itself. And sure enough, in the first 10 seconds of the trailer, when Rathalos's power goes crazy, a soldier just goes, "Wings of Ruin." Like, really? Like, okay, is that how we're gonna do it? Like, and then what at the end of the game is someone gonna go, "This was our Monster Hunter Stories 2. Like, really? Okay. You know what this reminds me of is the first Suicide Squad movie. In the first trailers, Will Smith goes, "Oh, so that's it, huh? We're some kind of Suicide Squad," and everyone was making fun of it because it's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, you had to say the name of the movie. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, okay, right." It's like, yeah.
I think they said the Queen's Gambit during that Netflix show at some point.
But that's an actual chess move.
So it wasn't as bad. But my buddy was just like, he wasn't into watching the show, and he was just going, "They're going to zoom in on her at the end and go, 'This is the Queen's Gambit.'"
Yeah.
And it's like, in a worse show, they definitely would do that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not the worst. I mean, let me tell you, like, I'm trying to get into voice acting, and I know that there's always going to be bad voice acting out there, but, like, just hearing him say that, "Wings of Ruin," and, like, some of the other lines in the trailer, I mean, I'm trying not to insult people, but could have done a little bit better. I mean, just saying, like, have the legend be called the Wings of Ruin, and, like, say it, like, that way. Like, this is the legend of the Wings of Ruin. Like, that would be so much better.
So much better.
But no, it's just like, oh, Rathalos is going crazy. Oh, it's Wings of Ruin. How would you know that? Like, it felt right. Oh, really? Why did it feel right? Okay. Are you, Are you, you know, being prejudiced against dragons now? Like, what is this? It's like, are all dragons bad? Oh, they all have wings of ruin? What is wrong with you, man?
Or the guy's just really into metaphor, and he's like, on his knees being destroyed. And he's like, oh, this is a really powerful phrase I should utter right here. Just to these people around me who are also about to be fried by this dragon. He could have just been dramatic.
Stop. Stop being dramatic. There's a dragon going crazy. All right, I don't need you to be dramatic. The dragon is being dramatic for you. It's a dramatic dragon. Okay? It's a dramatic dragon that's literally known as Baby Rathalos or whatever. All right? Gosh, Rathalos doesn't need to be a child. All right? It's a fully grown dragon, Mom. Okay. Calming down. Calming down. Let's see. What do we have next? Oh, yes. This was... Okay, I'm not going to lie. This one was... arguably one of the more beautiful stories of the week. Poketoons came back. All right, and if you recall, Poketoons was first shown last year, and it was a Looney Tunes style cartoon of all things, where they had Scrafty meeting Mimikyu, and chaos ensued. But this time, they actually had a renowned anime director who's like known for doing intro sequences for anime come in and do more of a Twilight Wings kind of story called Dreaming Tsubome. And it's about a young girl who was the child of two famous Pokemon trainers, and she's trying to have her own journey. And of course, everything goes wrong. All right, she gets attacked by a pincer, she can't catch a Pokemon, then she meets a male Nidoran, and you know, it tries to befriend her, but then its parents show up and they're not happy, and they accept that it needs to leave, and they don't, and then there's an attack on the town, and so Tsubome has to step up to save the day, and then she finally gets to go on her Pokemon journey. It's 14 minutes long, and even though I don't speak Japanese because it's only in Japanese right now, I could tell the story like beat for beat, and it's really beautiful. It's really like what made Twilight Wings so good. It's just now in Poketoons. And then the best thing they did was at the very end of the episode, and we have it up on the website if you want to go watch it, they do a reference to the very first Pokemon game entrance. They have the music, dun, 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 and the Nidoran is a Nidorino, and it goes and attacks a Gengar. Like, boom! Full circle. Like, love it. Like, it's have you guys seen this?
I have not yet.
It's okay. Well, it's up on the website. Again, it's only in Japanese, sadly, but it's really good. It's really well animated, and like these are the kinds of Pokemon stories we need. Like, I love the anime. I like Pokemon journeys and everything, but these are the side stories that alongside Pokemon Twilight Wings are what we need, because this is the side of the Pokemon we're never going to get to see unless directors like this guy say, I want to tell that girl's story. You know, I want to tell that person's story. I want to show what happens when this kid goes and meets the champion of Galar. You know, I love it. These are the stories that make me like giddy as a writer, because I'm like, that's a beautiful thing. I totally geeked out when they did the Pokemon Red and Blue entrance thing. I was like, because they didn't have to do that. But they're like, yeah, we have a Nidoran. It's evolved to a Nidoran. Have him go fight a Gengar with the music playing in the background. Like, done. Boom. Love it. So definitely go and check that out. And finally, see, we actually did have a lot of news today. Finally, Death Battle. Oh, yeah. Link versus Cloud. It's happening on Monday. There's a Monday on YouTube, Sunday for first members. And they've already showed some stills of the fight. It looks really good. They're using the Breath of the Wild Link. And technically, Final Fantasy VII and or Kingdom Hearts version of Cloud, depending how you look at it. But it's a good model of Cloud. And then, get this, the song is going to be called Final Breath.
Okay.
It actually took me a while to get the reference, because I'm like, well, I mean, I guess someone's taking their final breath. And then I'm like, oh, Breath of the Wild. Yeah, really clever. So,
well, they have always been done that for these for the matches. There's always been a theme of that with their songs. Oh, yeah.
But it was just like Final Breath. I was just like, oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah, it's actually made by a friend of mine named Brandon Michael Yates, who's one of the mainstays of the musical side of Death Battle. He's really good. And so I'm looking for, I did my longest preview video for my YouTube show Todd Talk, and it went like 35 minutes because I was having to talk about so much between Cloud and Link and what they could do with like summons and the items. I had to look up every item that Link had, because they're doing the composite Link of all the generations, the official canon generations, and I had to realize, like, okay, what does this sword do compared to that one? What about that ring compared to that one? You know, what did the potions all do? You know, what is the fierce deity mask? You know, what does it really do? You know, and so I'm like, okay, they might include that. They'll probably include that. They already talked about the four sword, which is broken. All right, like I'm telling you right now, I'm calling out on this podcast as I did on my show. I'm picking Link to win this fight for one reason and one reason only. The four sword not only can split him up into four copies that can act independently and attack Cloud all at once, it can house 99 fairies. 99! Which means Cloud has to kill Link 100 times. if they include this, if they count this, which is, I know, a little bit iffy with Death Battle rules, but it specifically states that the four sword can house 99, quote, force fairies, which is the same thing as fairies, just with a different name, and every time Link dies, a force fairy will revive him to full health. So he has to die 100 times before Link can kill Cloud once. I don't like those odds. You can Omni-Slash all you want, Cloud Strife, alright? But Link will never be a memory.
So. Yeah, this battle is definitely shaping out to be quite the rematch. Just like all since that original battle, like the games after it, and like, again, Breath of the Wild, of course, with Remake, and of course with Integrate that just released today. Yeah, just so much details to account for, and just like, yeah, this is definitely going to be a rematch to see again. Yes,
I actually in studying for this match, I watched the original one, and their restrictions in that original fight is insane. Like, they based both characters on their fighting game forms from, like, Smash and Dissidia. And then they said, like, okay, but we'll also include the skills that they have from the other games. So it's just like, that was so restrictive. It was nuts. And so even though Link won, which, yeah, I was glad he won, I'm like, this is not accurate at all. So yeah, I'm looking for, and even on the if you look at the description of the original fight video, it goes, this fight is outdated. Like, no kidding. No freaking kidding. Oh, man. All right, and with that, we now head to our main event, because gentlemen, we are just days away from E3 2021. Feels like forever. Feels like forever since E3 2019, and it's time not for hopes, time not for wishes, it is not the time for dreams, it's time for hard predictions, because we're about to do our first ever E3 draft on the road to E3. All right, so given the time we have, I say we do three picks, okay. Three picks each. And again, these are definitive, hard predictions about what we think is going to be done by Nintendo. I'll be fair, and its affiliates at E3. So, for example, if you wanted to say Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle, I will include your pick as a winner if they announce it at, say, the Ubisoft press conference, and not Nintendo proper.
Okay? Right.
But it has to be like an exclusive thing. It can't be like, oh yeah, Call of Duty is also coming to Switch, but we know it's going to be on every other console, and it's probably going to play better on those anyway. So that wouldn't count. But Mario and Rabbids...
And Call of Duty is not coming to Switch.
Yeah,
two.
We know. We all know. But, you know, hey, they're lost. Anyway, because if they actually took the time and the effort to... Never mind. So, but yeah, if you do, like, say, Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and that's announced at Ubisoft, that's fine. Or if you want to say, you know, get more details on Project Triangle Strategy, and that's detailed more in the Square Enix one and not Nintendo, I'm still going to count that, all right? Because that's an exclusive title for the Switch. Okay? So, I will go first. And I want to make this a memorable one. You know what? Since we just did Link versus Cloud, I'm calling it right now. We're going to get an announcement, a Final Fantasy VII Remake on Switch. I'm kidding. I mean, I would love
that. That would be something. I would not mind that.
That would be something. But they've already confirmed that they couldn't get Kingdom Hearts 3 on the Switch. And if they can't get Kingdom Hearts 3, there's just no way they're going to get Final Fantasy Remake. I can dream, though. But no, I say we will definitively get a teaser or trailer for Breath of the Wild 2.
Okay.
Now, I will not say that it's going to come out this year because I don't know. And there have already been rumors it's already being pushed back to 2022, which is fine as long as they're working to make it as perfect, or not, it wasn't perfect, but as close to perfect as the original game was. All right. And I respect that, but we have to get something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We saw the last teaser at 2019 when they were like, hey, we are working on this thing and you're going underground and maybe Ganondorf's back to life. We don't know, but we need a teaser or trailer for Breath of the Wild 2. And that is the thing that we are all looking forward to. That is the thing we want. I don't care about Skyward Sword HD. I don't like that what she did to SAO Nuba with the, oh, you were expecting this, but no, we're going to give you this instead because it's me, Dio! You know, I don't want to give me Breath of the Wild 2. So we are going to get either a teaser or a teaser trailer or a trailer proper at E3 2021, period, of Breath of the Wild 2. That's my first pick.
Yeah, I think that's a very solid choice. It's been so long now. Like, we gotta have something, especially with that Onuma tease. Like, no, we're not gonna show. We're gonna show you this instead. But at least something. Just show us, give us an image. Just like what they did with Skyward Sword Original. Just give us an image and we'll be happy. That's all we ask. Yeah.
I was gonna go with that for my pick. So that's a bit of a bummer. I'm sure everybody listening also would have gone with that as their first pick. But, you know, good pick.
Yeah. All right, let's just go down the line. Will, what is your first pick of the E3 draft?
Well, my first pick of the E3 draft is a fairly safe bet, but I think we are definitely getting hard bet. We're definitely going to hear regarding the news of the Switch Pro, if anything else, because this has been so speculated for so long. It's almost to the point that it's got to be real. Like, I know Nintendo says, we're not thinking about making another model. We're not going to be making just this. There is no talks about it. Yeah, I press X on that. That is big time sus, because, like, with Breath of the Wild 2 coming out and all these different other games that's just coming out to the point that, like, really could use that performance boost, I really do believe that the Switch Pro news, the Super Switch, is gonna be coming from Nintendo. Like, we're going to have that extra heart, that performance upgrade, that perhaps that extra size of the screen a bit more up there. Like, probably do what they did with the same thing with the Wii 2, like the Wii 2 Wii U, basically bring that data, have your Pikmin transfer over data to your Switch, Super Switch, something of that sort. Like, something, I know they've always been very creative regarding to that little, like, data transfers and all that. So, like, this is just perfect opportunity. And, like, if they're not going to show it on this thing, on E3, then at least we're going to show it probably here something in Tokyo Game Show. But we're finally going to hear something about Super Switch or Switch Pro, whatever they want to call it, because, yeah, performance upgrades, like, perfect. If it's going to be, it probably goes inside, like, if they're going to release Breath of the Wild 2 in 2022, I think that's also be a good time to also release alongside with the Switch Pro. So, hard bet, Switch Pro is going to be showing up at E3 this year. Hard bet.
What do you think, Tyler? Do you think it's time?
It's difficult to say because I think the tweet said software. So I do think we'll see it possibly just at the treehouse. I like it. I think that's probably going to happen. Yes.
I'm looking up the tweet. I am.
I believe the tweet said software, but I still think they'll probably show it at the treehouse.
Okay, here we go. Tune in for a Nintendo Direct with Ryan Nihander with roughly 40 minutes of info focused exclusively on Nintendo Switch software, mostly releasing in 2021, followed by 3 hours of gameplay in Nintendo Treehouse Live.
Yeah, so that's not a ringing endorsement.
No.
So I don't know. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I wouldn't have made it my first pick. That's for sure.
Yeah. And if you recall last episode, we talked about a rumor that was going on that said that the Switch Pro was going to be leaked or talked about on the following Friday. That was the 4th. And to quote a legendary Star Trek DS9 episode, it's a fake. Yeah. All of the pro rumors of the last few days have been fake, 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 fake. So, as we have said multiple times on this podcast, don't listen to rumors. All right. You could talk about them like we have, like with Smash Brothers or the Switch Pro, and that's fine. Do not believe them until they are proven real, because this is getting out of hand. All right. Like a friend of mine on who also works for Death Battle, ironically enough, he has been mocking the Switch Pro people because they're like waiting like every hour they're expecting like a Switch Pro announcement, and it just hasn't happened yet. So that should kind of be a hint, Switch Pro people. Just saying. So we'll see though. We'll see. All right, Tyler, your first pick, if you would please.
First, I would like to ask if this is a snake draft before I make my first
no,
pick.
No, we're gonna go roundabout.
So you just get the first round every time. That hardly seems fair. Hardly.
Fine, we'll do a snake draft.
That seems more fair.
Freaking whiner. Freaking whiner.
All right, so my first pick is a safe one, a very safe one. We talked about it on the show, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle 2. I think we're gonna see. Again, we've just talked about how rumors are nonsense, but feels like it's time. It seems like this game was going to get a sequel based on how successful it was. And with the reports coming out, I think we see Kingdom Battle 2 this week. My second pick is more exciting, though.
Oh, he's going right into it. He's not even going to wait for our analysis. Okay, fine.
Do you want to
analyze? No, not really.
I feel like we've analyzed it.
Yeah, we...
Like, if anything else, because we really know what we have with the original game. And if we know Ubisoft, they want to continue on with this money train of this collaboration. So, yeah, this really won't be surprising. But again, how to improve it, that's what I would look forward to.
Okay, but I do want to ask one question. If that teaser had not come out today, would you still have made this your top pick?
So I would not have made it my top pick, but I probably would have picked it nonetheless. It was something I mentioned in our third party discussion a couple weeks back.
Right.
So I do think it would have been on my list.
Yeah.
But maybe not the first pick. My next pick is Splatoon 3 will be a part of the 2022 and later thing. We already know that's coming out then. It will be shown. We'll get some new modes. We'll get them showcased. We'll get some gameplay. And this is where I put my reputation on the line for no reason.
Oh.
I think there's going to be like a Splatoon 2 event to like hype it up. Ooh. Like if I was Nintendo, I would put together a Splatfest in Splatoon 2 to be like, oh man, we're having this. Let's say Splatoon 3 is coming out in March of next year, and in December we're going to do a farewell to Splatoon 2, Splatfest, something along those lines. Maybe they could do... We've seen how different the world is going to be, although I think they said it's in a different part of the world. But they could certainly do some chaos event in Splatoon 2 to hype it up. And I would love that. So I'm going to put that in there. That's probably not going to happen, but I'm putting it in there anyway because I want it to happen.
So since you also talked about it a lot, I'm gonna break it up into two parts. We have Splatoon 3 Details Overload. So, you know, like trailer, gameplay vids, you know, new modes, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. And then / Splatoon 2 Splatfest hype event or something.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm writing all these down so that we don't, because we will be judging next week, obviously.
That sounds very fair.
Sure. And yeah, like just to comment on that is like they have done that for the for the past Splatoon games, so I would not be surprised if they actually did something similar to basically drum up the release for Splatoon 3. And yeah, as you said, a send off to Splatoon 2. Just thank you for everything. And I don't know, I have some details, especially the new music group that's after Off the Hook. So yeah, Squid Sisters, Off the Hook. Who's next? That's one thing I'm curious. So yeah.
All right, well, you're next up in the snake.
Oh, man, the next one. This one, I'm not too confident of, but I would be very surprised if they prove me wrong. I think we'll probably get the next 3D Mario adventure game. And yes, I know, like, we just came off of Odyssey and how great that game was, absolutely just beautiful. But I think it maybe is in probably the time to basically show Mario's next adventure, honestly. Like, the reason I'm thinking this is because, like, with Breath of the Wild 2, I think maybe they want to go and continue with that whole sense of success of Mario and Zelda, two legendary IPs released in that roughly same time window with Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. It's like, the way I imagine it, I imagine seeing the trailer is like, yeah, we'll definitely see Mario once again, but instead of a new gimmick, instead of like something with Cappy, like something along, yeah, we explored space, we explored the islands, we explored, like, yeah, why not bring back Delfino Island Plaza? We finally have a full-fledged cameo. Like, yes, we go back to Delfino Plaza and just go even beyond. Like, what is beyond space? I don't know, beyond we go Galaxy, but wait a minute, we already did my Super Mario Galaxy. What is the show? Like, put it all together? Oh, wait a minute. How about
multiverse.
We go back? Yeah, just go for multiverse and like Delfino Plaza, Paper Mario, go all the way back to the Mushroom Tosu Castle of 64. Just what if 3D All-Stars was basically just to whet our appetite for the next 3D Mario adventure, then I see like Mario just like really going. Yeah, just go full on multiverse. Like, yeah, we're going back to Delfino Plaza. We're going back to the Odyssey. We're going back to just everything. And like, instead of like a major compilation game like they do with 3D All Stars, I imagine like Mario just like we're heading back to all these locales once again, once more. But have like with Luigi, like all the different casts. Like, heck, I would be surprised if you actually have Bowser as an ally again to probably face an even bigger threat. I mean, yeah, let's just go for a Spider-Man multiverse and like have an even bigger enemy that's bigger than Bowser again, like, or something akin to like Legend of the Seven Stars. Like, there is a much more bigger enemy, bigger than Rosalina, bigger than Bowser, or just something else that's just like it's just impending doom that threatens the Mario universe multiverse. And I'm just maybe going grandiose, but I feel like we're definitely gonna see the next 3D Mario adventure coming to this year's E3. I have a strange feeling. Not confident, but I have a feeling we'll probably see the next outing of Mario's adventure.
I would love that, of course. I think everybody would. I don't think that's gonna happen. One thing I definitely don't think is gonna happen is that they're gonna have an enemy that's not Bowser. As obvious as that seems that they should, because it know how Nintendo is with the Mario franchise, and they are like, it's going to be Bowser, and that's it, because otherwise it's not recognizable, which is just not true, but we know how they are with it. I would love that, though. It does feel like we're in the area where we could be due for it. I wouldn't rule that out.
I'm of two minds on this, because objectively, yes, this obviously could. This is very likely. I mean, we've talked about before, they are very bent on using Mario and Link and certain other properties as much as freaking possible, because they know it'll sell. Like, look at the Mario ports. They've all sold, from All Stars to U Deluxe and everything. And of course, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the best-selling game on Switch currently. So we all know that they love that, but the president also said that, you know, they're trying to go beyond those, but does go beyond mean, you know, we're not doing another 3D adventure game, even though, you know, Odyssey was a Game of the Year candidate? Not exactly. So, given the year that they're having, you know, will it come out this year? I don't know. When did Odyssey come out? Did it not come out in October?
Odyssey
2017?
Came out in October,
in the fall,
17.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did that within a week release of Fire Emblem Heroes. Not Heroes. Warriors. Warriors, right. So, yeah, they absolutely could release it this year. Maybe, I don't know. But of all the picks so far, that's honestly one I wouldn't want, because I don't want another Mario game right now. I mean, they've done so many, and it's not, again, I'll get it. I loved Odyssey. Odyssey was great, you know, but I want something else. I want, you know, a Donkey Kong, an F-Zero, which is not one of my draft picks, for the record. If you recall, that was actually my draft pick in the first draft, so I'm holding out on that one. But, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's a good bet. I honestly think it is, Will, given everything that's happened in the last year or so, but I'm honestly hoping it doesn't happen. I don't want it! Alright. Alright, my turn. And for this one, I'm going to go not vague, but I'm going to cast a wide net, but I'm going to be specific on other parts. I am expecting a big third-party announcement exclusive. And I know what you're thinking, wait a minute, you're already getting that with Triangle Strategy and potentially Mario and Rabbids. And I'm going to specify by saying this is a title that none of us are expecting. Has not been teased.
Sir,
all right. Yes.
I hope you're going to get more specific. I am.
So like, for
what
example.
What series is it? Or is it a new series?
That's a good question. I will say, there you go. I'll help narrow it down that way. It's a brand new IP.
Okay.
So Triangle Strategy doesn't count, because I'm going to tie that into Octopath Traveler. It's kind of the same thing. So not Bayonetta 3. Yes, we still know that game exists. You can't fool us, Platinum Studios. Mario and Rabbids obviously doesn't count. So I'm not going to try and pick a developer because that's way too specific. But I will say between all the developers that Nintendo has worked with, that there is going to be a brand new third-party IP that will be debuting on the Nintendo Switch either this year or next. Okay? Is that fair enough? Or do I need
if
to...
it's a new IP, I say IP. It's fair. So I'm say it's fair. Yeah. It's very safe and it's definitely going to happen, but I will give it to you.
All right, so I'm going to type it up as new third party IP can't be from other franchises or known / teased previously.
Yeah, okay.
So again, so that eliminates Triangle Strategy, Mario & Rabbids, Bayonetta 3, all of them.
Yes,
so,
excellent pick. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and ports don't count either. Okay, this has to be brand new. You know, like what Octopath was when it was announced at E3 in 2019. You know, that kind of thing. Or was that 2018?
Octopath was 18.
Yeah, 18. So like that was a huge announcement. It was like, oh, that's totally something different from, you know, Square Enix. So I think that given what's been going on with the Switch recently and how much it's selling, that someone's going to say, I want to try something new on the Switch. And given that it's 40 minutes long, I think that's a good bet. And again, I want that diversity on the Switch. So. All right, so because of the snake, I go again, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Actually, it's only a snake when I get to pick, because I want to pick again. No, I'm kidding.
Well, the snake does eat its own tail. Anyway, and I am the head of the snake. Moving on. So this one, I'm going to go very, very specific. We are going to get a Fire Emblem remaster title.
I hate you. You stole another one of my picks.
All right. Okay. Do you really want it?
No, it's yours. No.
Okay. Because I have a backup. If you
this
don't,
is how the
really...
snake works. This is
okay.
How the snake works.
Yeah. So we are going to get a Fire Emblem remaster announcement. So just to specify, this is not technically a brand new Fire Emblem title like Three Houses. All right. This is a Shadows of Valentia Fire Emblem Echoes situation. All right, because there was a rumor from Zephyr that we would get a remaster of Genealogy of the Holy War. I would love that. But I also know that they might pull a swerve, and there's been rumors of a Path of Radiance remaster, which I also would love because Ike is Eternal. And they might do a bundle and put Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn together. I don't know. All right, they have a lot of options. So I'm just going to say that we are going to get a remaster announcement for one of the older titles at this E3. So, because I want it. And despite the sales of Shadows of Valentia, it's still revered as a great Fire Emblem game and set the tone for Three Houses and beyond. So, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. And this now would be the perfect time to do it, because even if it comes next year, that's still something to look forward to next year.
Yeah, so I like this, obviously, because it was going to be one of mine.
Uh-huh.
I went a little more specific, and I added another stupid wrinkle to, like, this probably won't happen. But FE4, Genealogy of the Holy War, and Thracia 776 is a midquel. It takes place in between the first and second half of Genealogy of the Holy War.
Right,
and
if I was them,
I would package those together. I would make them one remake. So I put too. That actually they do 4 and 5.
Okay. Now I'm gonna put that as a Tyler's note.
Yes.
All right. Tyler's note. Throw in Thracia 776.
Right, and because otherwise. And I'm sure they don't mind, the money train will keep coming, but they'll be remaking these games. Like they won't be caught up to where we are. Like they won't be caught up to Path of Radiance until like 2030. And yeah. That just is unacceptable to me. So.
Well, I mean, but if you think about it, if they release it in 2030, that'll be when Final Fantasy VII Part II comes out.
That's
so.
A great point. That's a yeah. great point.
So let's look at this in the overall sense. What ones have they not brought to the West? So there's the second Marth game.
Right,
that's mystery of the emblem, right?
Yes.
So then there was a so that was three. No.
Yep.
Was that three?
Yeah,
because Gaiden was two. So yep. That's three. Then Genealogy of the Holy War was 4. Thracia 776 is 5. Binding Blade was 6.
Yes.
And then Blazing Sword was 7. Even though 7 comes before 6 chronologically, because logic. All right, so technically...
All the rest from there.
Yeah, we have all the rest. So it's four titles. It's Mystery, Genealogy, Thracia, Binding Blade. So, yeah. I'd be fine with one every year.
I guess, yeah.
I'd be fine with that. You know, just finish out the Switch one every year, and then you'd be all caught up.
I would just also like them to remake the other ones, too. Like, if they did FE7 and 8 and Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn, like, if they did... Yeah. I would love to get those in HD. Not necessary, but they're so hard to get. Those games are crazy expensive now.
Yeah.
I would like them to...
And we all saw the backlash to the 30th anniversary announcement of the original Fire Emblem game. It was, like, no effort at all.
A backlash. There was one person who was complaining, and that was you.
It was not just me. It was you. There was people on Twitter complaining about it, alright?
But they're not Fire Emblem fans. I mean...
Oh, wow. Burn.
Complaining is
Burn!
What... Complaining. Maybe, like, you know, people are like, oh, I wish that we had more, but I don't know if there was mass hysteria.
There was hysteria. Alright, so yeah, so my pick is Fire Emblem Remaster Announcement. And then Tyler also wants it to be Genealogy and Thracia 776. So, we shall see. All right, Will, with your final pick, what do you choose?
For me, it's a hard bet. We're going to get Pikmin 4. Like, ooh. We have heard so much things. They actually have completed Pikmin 4. Is it? Is it not? Like, we have heard so much things regarding to Pikmin 4. And the way I imagine the trailer being revealed, like, oh, we see the cast of Pikmin 3, like the three captains, and then we actually see Olimar and Louis, which I still do not trust Louis. He tried to kill us. But again, he is a playable character here, but I don't know. It's just, like, so much in that lore of the Pikmin universe. Like, we see, we hear about Onimar's family, we hear about the company that he's working on, we hear about the big boss who got us into debt. Like, there's just, like, so much creativity that's still open-ended from that world. It's just, like, and they supposedly, quote-unquote, said they are done with the game. It's just, like, how we're gonna present it. Like, I feel like we're gonna have something we're going to Pikmin 4, if anything else. Like, of course, naturally, we have new Pikmin, like, aside from the flying, the Brock Pikmin. I think we'll probably get the next form of, like, I don't know, another subset of Pikmin that, like, I don't know, like, apparently, like, an invincible Pikmin that actually can phase through walls, a ghost kind of Pikmin. I don't know, something that actually won't die, quote-unquote, but actually can phase through, something of that sort. And, like, in regards to storyline-wise, like, something that will invite... Like, invite a bit more. I mean, heck, even a co-op, much more, like, develop more into the co-op Pikminverse. Like, yes, there is, like, in the co-op in the original game, as well as the deluxe version. Yeah, the re-released version of the game for Switch. So perhaps a full-on, another co-op adventure game, but, like, basically add on, like, something they did with, It Takes Two, like, have full-on levels actually utilizes both companions to their fullest. Like, that's what I imagine that how they would, that Pikmin 4 may possibly be. And I feel like they are definitely doing, Nintendo and Shigeru Miura have done something with this license. And I refuse to believe that they have not done anything since that, their development from the last game. And of course, the re-release of the recent Switch port. So personally for me, Pikmin 4, we're going to get something about it. Teaser image or just a new Pikmin revealed, something of that sort. So Pikmin 4, hard bet.
Yeah, and it should be noted that Pikmin 3 did sell, it sold, like, really well. Like, it was, like, the best-selling Pikmin, or Pikmin 3 Deluxe was, like, the best-selling Pikmin game, or something like that, or close to it. Like, it definitely sold over a million copies, which is a running thing with these ports. So, that clearly there's still a desire for this, so make of that what you will. Alright, Snake in the Grass. That's you, Tyler. your final pick.
My final pick is the return, the long-awaited return of Diddy Kong and his friends, including Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong will come back. We are getting a Donkey Kong game. The Kremlings are coming back. King K. Rool came back in Smash Bros. That is going to be our platformer. There's always got to be a platformer. Will's putting forth Mario. Good pick. I'm putting forth Donkey Kong. It's just time. It's been so long. Tropical Freeze sold very well on Switch, as we alluded to with the ports. One of the best platformers of this decade.
I agree.
And it's just, it's well past time. It's a beloved franchise that Nintendo has treated poorly for too long. And there are rumors swirling about it, so I'm buying into that. It's just, it's time. We need the return of Donkey Kong, and that is my closer.
All right.
Hmm.
I think that's fair, because if you recall, like that long line of Zippo rumors, Donkey Kong was one of them. It was not going to be a Donkey Kong Country title, but it was going to be Donkey Kong. And then he mentioned the Kremlings were coming back, so... I think that's a safe bet. And again, expanding the IP library to make sure all titles are represented, or as many titles as possible are represented on Switch, is something I fully am behind. So it's possible. Whether it actually happens remains to be seen.
Now, really quick, because we're doing predictions.
Yes.
I predict Ratchet and Clank for Smash.
Oh, shut up.
Who do you predict?
No. Okay. Okay. You know what? No, let's do this.
Ratchet
bonus
and Clank,
round.
Okay, that's not gonna happen. But it's not an O shot.
No.
It's like they'd be like in the top 10 most likely,
no.
Right? Like
we're gonna do this. We're going into the bonus round, and we're gonna have a Smash Brothers character prediction. Okay, it doesn't have to be two, because we honestly can't guarantee that both will be there. I think they will be, but I don't know. So if we're gonna do this, let's do this for real. All right, bonus pick, our Smash Brothers prediction, Tyler. Who
yeah.
is your a real definitive
a,
pick.
A real. I do a disrespectful Ratchet and Clank. That is so disrespectful. They
dude,
have a new game coming out.
Dude, stop. Okay, look. If we want to be objective here, here's an objective. That's Sony. This is Nintendo. They are rift apart. Oh.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
If I mean, I don't actually think Ratchet and Clank are getting in. I just want to speak it into existence. My actual pick. I don't want to be lame and say Crash. And I don't want to be lame and say Ryu Hayabusa, but those are the two that are kind of smoky. So you know what? I'm going to go off the board and I'm going to say Spyro. We're going to get Spyro.
Okay, Spyro. And Spyro has been on Nintendo platforms, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Spyro
the
Dragon.
Skylanders, I think.
Oh, Skylanders, yeah. I could. Wait, wasn't it Reignited Trilogy? Didn't that come
yes,
out?
Yes, that is on Switch.
Yeah,
okay,
Reignited
so there
Trilogy,
you go.
Yes. Yeah,
so
there, yeah.
There's your loophole. As I said, like all third-party characters have been on Nintendo platforms in one form or another, even Cloud Strife. So, okay. So we got Spyro for you, Will.
I'm actually trying to show what other characters I want. I mean, we got so much great characters. I mean, yeah, we got Sephiroth. We have Pyramithra. Like, who else do I want to get? Like, of course, we can't get Geno. Geno's like already a Mii costume. And then we got the cast of Tifa, which I've got Mii costume. So what else they gonna do? Spyro Dragon. What other character do I want to see? And unfortunately, they only knocked off Travis, so that's... Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know, because again, we have to go up with the rule that again, they have to be on a Nintendo platform or console.
We'll just put you down for Crash. That's probably the safe.
I mean, there's really nobody else. Honestly, I'm looking for like whatever the show. I mean, heck, Dante would probably be said. I'll like if they put a Dante.
Dante could work.
All right.
Do you want Dante?
I'll just put in Dante, because right now there's nothing really popping in my head that actually I really do want. I mean, I would say 2B, but again, that's a Sony property, so I can't do that.
And
so.
She has not been on Smash, or on Nintendo, so...
Yeah, so, like, yeah, I'll just put in Dante, so that's a safe bet for me.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna pick one who is highly desired, will be highly controversial. Sly Cooper. I'm kidding.
I knew you weren't serious after you ripped me for Ratchet.
No, I know. Like, I want to speak it into existence, Tyler. No, Cyclever is one of my favorite characters ever. But, and honestly, he would work in there. It's just, he deserves more after what happened with PlayStation All-Stars. All right, like, that was just an abomination of a title. No, if we're gonna be serious, even though it's unlikely because of a certain other character inclusion, the one character... everyone has been asking for, okay, not everyone, but a vast majority of Smash Brothers fans have been asking for, is Sora. Like, I know it's another sword user, but, you know, between his abilities and magic, that they could make him at least a little bit different, you know, and I could just see it. I mean, the big question would be if Disney allowed it, and I don't know why they wouldn't. It's a money thing. I mean, like, they've gotten everybody else. You telling me they can't convince Disney to give them a video game character for a Smash Brothers thing that's already sold, like, what are we at, like, almost 30 million copies or something like that? So, it'll be like 25. But, like, come on. It's Disney. They want money, so this will help them get that. All right? So, even though, yes, this would add yet another... yet another sword fighter to Smash Brothers, which is the only reason that it might not happen, I truly believe, is because they might think, oh, there's too many sword fighters. But think about it. Sakurai's even said, I can't control that. It's not me who picks the characters. It's Nintendo who says, here's who you're putting into the game.
Yes.
So it's not like him saying, like, oh, there's too many sword fighters. I should pick something else other than Sora. It's no, Sora is one of the most popular characters in recent memory. And, you know, especially because of Kingdom Hearts 3 and even Melody of Memories, you know, he's still popular. He's still out there. He's still on the tongues of the people who want to see him in Smash Brothers. So, yes, my pick is Sora.
Okay. I like that because everybody's kind of given up on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, kind of, why did we all give up on it? It's just sort of people gave up on it. And yeah. I like it.
Now, I'm going to give us a team bonus. A team bonus. Okay, this is because I honestly do believe that there's going to be both trailer reveals. And I feel that as a team, there is one character who we can agree should be in the game, should have a shot because of a certain other character that's already in the title, would play totally different, would not be a clone.
Right.
Knuckles.
Oh, so I was nodding my head in agreement, and then I was waiting for Dixie Kong. I was waiting for Dixie Kong,
sorry.
And you said Knuckles, which I like, but I think Tails deserves it more than Knuckles.
Okay.
So I would say Tails.
So, Will, I'll give you the deciding vote. Tail for our team. This is all of us get the point if we get this one. So, team bonus, Tails or Knuckles for Smash?
Honestly, I want Tails.
Okay,
I want
Tails. It is. Okay, so I'm going to put team pick Tails. Okay. All right, and saved. All right. So I have all of our picks. So at the end of our show next week, which will be an E3 extravaganza, we will determine who is the winner of the first ever E3 draft. It's gonna be me. Yeah, I'm going in sync on you all. It's gonna be me.
If you look at our combined picks, we have Mario, Donkey Kong, Fire Zelda. Emblem, Zelda. Did we have Metroid?
No,
I don't think.
No. None of us picked Metroid. Probably because it's almost too much to hope for at this point.
Splatoon. Like if this all happens. What an E3. It will be ridiculous.
It will be a grand E3. Which, honestly, I'm hoping for.
It'll be great.
I mean, I'm hoping for it because, again, they missed last year and they totally screwed us with the whole, hey, we're not doing a Nintendo anything during E3 week, even though we were never going to officially be there outside of our booth. So
that was such a bummer.
It was! So they owe us. They owe us a grand E3 with 40 minutes of less pure bliss and announcements, first party and third party. So... We will pray to the Nintendo gods, ladies and gentlemen, that this happens because we deserve a good E3, dang it. We deserve it. All right. And we'll find out very quickly next week how we thought about E3 because I guarantee you it's going to be reflected in our title. Okay. Because it'll be best E3 ever or what the heck were they thinking?
Yep.
Or things Nintendo E3 got wrong. There you go. All right, and so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you what unlikely title you would like to see announced at Nintendo's E3 presentation. 17% of you said Kid Icarus, 67% said F-Zero, 0% said Takamaru's Castle, and 17% said Mother 3.
No appreciation.
I'm happy for the F-Zero love. I am, but I don't know. I know, and again, for those thinking, like, Todd, why have you forsaken F-Zero? Again, that was one of my original picks from the draft earlier in the year. So that carries over throughout the year. So I could get, you know, that point still. We shall see. But yeah, so this week...
I think we let everybody enjoy the show this week.
Yep.
Right.
I think sit back, enjoy E3.
Yeah, and then next week we have the poll about the grade.
Yes.
Yeah. Or best reveal if there are, like, a swath of them.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. So yes, no poll question this week, but do let us know your thoughts on all the news of the week from Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle 2 potentially being teased WarioWare potentially coming to Switch. Are you okay with that? Are you hoping that Shin Megami Tensei 5 does indeed release this November? Are you excited for Monster Hunter Stories 2? And what did you think about the Poketoons? And of course, your thoughts on what Nintendo will show at E3 2021. So, for Talia, Tyler, and Wario, well, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.